2019 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling. Your Saturday morning is sorted with Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
There is also the significant threat of electrocution.
Join former St Kilda champ Joey Montagna.
Talk about doing something ridiculous for a bit of cash.
Triple M footy and Herald Sun pen pusher Jay-Z Clark.
Thanks for putting up with me.
To keep these two in check.
Jay, I've just noticed something. How well are you going this morning? Your top's inside out.
Fox footy, Sarah Ollie.
You're looking great.
Everything you need to kickstart your weekend. Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Good morning and welcome to Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Joey, Jay and Sarah, Ollie and Jay.
Yep.
Jumpers the right way today.
Yeah, look, in my defence, you know, you got a couple of jobs, you sort of got three kids. I don't even get time to eat, let alone concentrate when I'm putting my clothes on. So sometimes, Joey, it just sort of comes out the wrong way or whatever.
I understand, mate. You're a busy man. You're a busy man, and but you've got your clothes on the right way. You're actually dressed up today. You're going straight to the footy from here today,
yeah.
Are you?
Carlton, Brisbane. Going to be fascinating, isn't it? They're going to unveil this new attacking game style, play with a bit more flair and freedom. So it'll be, I just wonder whether they get the spike. Then you know the new coach spike. Is that a real thing, Joey?
Yeah, absolutely, it's a real thing. But generally, there's a spike because generally a coach gets sacked because the players have clearly stopped playing at the level they need to. So generally, there's always going to be a spike. I mean, you look at Carlton's probably three of their last 4 weeks, their effort's been pretty average. So there's going to be some sort of spike. But also when the pressure's released, when the shackles are off, you've got nothing to lose, a new coach. I think it's a bit of a danger game for the Brisbane Lions today. I reckon if I was a Carlton fan, I'd be a little bit excited about what we can see today. Yep.
Now, speaking of danger games, Jay, we know that last Saturday you were talking about the mammoth task of putting insulation under your house. You're still here to tell the tale.
Yes, well, I know what it's like to be in solitary confinement now, Sarah, to be honest, because it's a dark and cold and lonely place under our house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and then to try and pull off some sort of handyman skill down there, which is not exactly in my wheelhouse, it's fair to say. It's been a challenge. I'm a better person for it, to be honest. I've spent 4 nights under the house.
So you got it all done?
I've done about 30% of it. Yeah, like it.
4 nights, 30%.
It's very dark down there, Joey. It's hot. It's uncomfortable. I'm laying on the ground under there. I take my hat off to all you insulation installers, I should say. It's the underfloor stuff, Joey and Sarah. And look, it's been awkward. I'm happy I haven't been bitten by any of the spiders.
Great.
I've seen a few of them.
Any rodents?
A few of them. Not all of them alive.
Electrocuted?
And haven't been electrocuted.
Now, why don't you just pay the money and get the professionals to do it for you?
I've got three children, Joey. They eat a lot. Boxes of Weet-Bix have gone up lately, so it's tough.
Do they appreciate the work that Dad is doing under the house?
I'm feeling a bit unloved, Sarah, to be honest. I wouldn't mind a bit more of a shoulder massage here or a hug from the kids or something. But look, I'm sure they're all feeling warmer this morning, and my efforts will be appreciated. I've got a couple more weeks of it to go. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts down there, but I'm just happy to live and be with you fine people
this
morning.
It's such a dad thing, though, isn't it? I swear the one time in 10 years my dad cooked dinner for us, it was the biggest show and dance of all time. We've got a massive show coming up today. We'll be speaking to Kat, Tom Atkins, and aren't those Geelong boys just purring at the moment? Sam Groth will be on the line to talk about Ash Barty. She's in the final tonight,
guys. Yeah, great story.
How exciting. And later in the program, Mitch McCarron, a boomer, to talk about the upcoming game against Team USA. That's all coming up on Triple M. Now, guys, you wouldn't have thought that there'd be a bigger story from last night's 67-point win. The Cats over the Tigers. But Jay, once again, the score review is in review. What is going on?
You couldn't script this stuff, to be honest, after the absolute balls up that what happened last week with the two absolute mistakes. Can you believe this has happened all over again? Now, last night's was a clear error, and I reckon any minute now the AFL will come out and say we've stuffed this up again.
Again,
and it just throws up the whole issue of this score review and what we do, because as I understand it, the AFL is a long way into work onto employing this or installing this bunker setup, a whiz bang setup for next year. So if this isn't done for round one next year, I expect it to be certainly in the early part of the season. It's an acknowledgement that the current system clearly doesn't work, and over the past fortnight, that is absolutely clear.
When you say bunker system, do you mean like the NRL system where everything goes to a centralised bunker?
Yeah, and better. But the key issue here is also the staffing that do it. So old mate Roger, who probably stuffed it up last week.
Poor Roger.
Well, maybe Roger has a stint in the twos, or we just fly the same two people, or use the same two people for every game.
Well, that's what I want to ask. Who are the people that are making the decision? Because it looks to us when we see, sometimes the camera angles are conclusive enough, but it's up to the trained eye to actually make the call. And it looks as if, are these people trained in looking what to specifically look for? Like, we hear Eddie McGuire go on about it, don't we, on Fox, about the different angles and the perceptions that it can make. Yeah. So is it someone with a trained eye in this field? Is it an ex-umpire? Who are the people that actually sit and make these decisions?
Ex-umpires, ex-AFL staffers, ex-tribunal people. So reputable people have been in the football system. They don't just bring in anyone, but there continues to be human errors. Yeah. And the human error last night was they didn't look at that extra angle, which clearly showed it was a goal. So, I mean, people at AFL House, they'd be as disappointed as what we are, to be honest, because this is an issue that's really in focus. And to be honest, it's been absolutely stuffed up again. That's the bad news. The good news is that they'll get this right for next season, because it's just an extraordinary embarrassment.
So is that all it was last night? Same with the week before in the Fremantle game. It was just looking at one extra bit of vision, one extra angle. So again, is that just a mistake from the people that are in control, that they didn't realise that they had another angle, or they didn't just didn't diligent enough to look for it? Is that all it's been?
Yeah, you'd think you'd check out all angles, wouldn't you? But extraordinarily, in the heat of the moment.
Like, yeah, exactly right. You've got to try and make a decision in 1 minute. Yeah.
So that is, is a huge error, and everyone at AFL House would be as frustrated as we are. Let's have a listen to the coach's reaction, Chris Scott and Damien Hardwick, after last night's match.
I was on the bench. I couldn't see anything anyway. Look, I think, once again, it's is what it is. I don't know. I don't really care.
I think it's better than the previous system, which is allowing the howlers through. I'll take my cue from Ross Lyon a little bit with some of these things. But the rub of the green sometimes goes with you, sometimes it goes against you.
And Chris Scott goes on to say he actually has some sympathy for some of the people running this broken system.
Let's accept as a competition that mistakes will happen. And I will say, I hear occasionally some people talk about the lack of accountability for umpires and footballers, and they compare it to their 9-to-5 job. Give me a break. These are some of the most accountable people in the country, in any field. They're going to make mistakes. To think that these things are going to be perfect is naive in the extreme.
And that's where I completely agree with Chris Scott, this notion that it has to be perfect or don't do it at all. I think that's naive, because there are so many variables in our game of AFL. It's whether it's slightly touched off the boot, whether it was touched on the line, whether it flicked a post. I mean, in any other sports in the world, it doesn't matter if it hits a post or what it does, as long as it goes through a goal or in a hoop or whatever they're trying to do. So it's never going to be perfect. But I think 97% is better than 94% or 90% accuracy.
Joey, this is a touchy issue for you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, wow.
2009 grand final. Have you recovered from that or not?
Well,
if anyone's going to be wanting a perfect system, it's you, my friend.
Funny you say that. I was just reading Glenn McFarlane had a little rant in the Herald Sun. His last line said, "Just imagine if it happens in a grand final and costs the team a premiership." That's an early give me a spell. 2009. Tom Hawkins, his ball deflected the gully. It was that big of a nick. But the goal review system came in off the back of that grand final.
Yeah.
So you don't want it to happen again, because then it would be ridiculous if you bring in a score review system and it did happen again in a grand final.
How frustrated were you?
Not really. Because it's, as I said, it's a rub of the green. You can't do anything about it. And the whole thing, I mean, even, Glenn McFarlane says, last week, at least this week, last night's one didn't affect the game, where last week's one cost Collingwood the game.
Walters one,
well, it doesn't, because the whole game changes. If it becomes touched, it doesn't mean that the other team ends up winning the game, because then all of a sudden, the whole sliding doors theory, it's a kick in and it goes on. So the Tom Hawkins poster, who knows what would happen if it was called a point? Geelong might have won by more. So you never hold that and think that's the difference between winning and losing.
But in your eyes, an imperfect system is still better than no system at all.
Well, I think so, absolutely. An improved system is better than anything.
No. If they've got the technology and they've got the people skills or the human expertise, just combine them. Just get it together. We don't have the perfect cameras.
You're never going to have the perfect camera angle to see if
it's
tight.
They had the camera angle there last night. They just didn't use it, my friend.
There's been ones where it's slightly touched the post. How can you tell by looking at a camera angle if it's slightly touched the post or not?
If you can't tell, that's fair enough.
Thank you.
Last night.
So it's never going to be perfect.
Well, it can be much better.
Thank you. That was what I said.
Myers, bouncing snap, is nice.
Cats have got four on the bounce.
Beautiful handball from Ablett to Dangerfield. Danger kicks the goal.
Geelong have kicked the last 11 goals of this game. The Cats move forward. They're going to get another one here. Duncan bangs it through. The Cats are destroying the Tigers.
It's out the back. Here comes Gaza. Yes. That's another one for the Cats. They're lining up the G.
It is a huge, huge win for the Cats.
Yes, after a big 67-point win over Richmond, the Cats are 11-1 heading into the bye. One of the new kids on the block, Tom Atkins, has joined us on the line. Tom, congratulations on the win last night.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Now, how's it all feeling? 11-1. I don't want to put the moz on you, but every time in Geelong's history that they've been at this ledger at this point in the season, they've gone on to make the grand final. How do you think about that?
Yeah, obviously, it's a good history, but we're a completely different team this year, and we're definitely not looking too far ahead. We know that we've still got a heap of improvement in us, so our focus is just to keep getting better as a team, and
Tommy, mate. Well done last night, mate. Just wanted to ask, what was Chris Scott most pleased about with the performance last night? Because it was another complete performance. What stood out the most from the coach's point of view?
You mentioned after the game, just our ability to sort of stand strong through obviously not a great first quarter. I mean, we talk about the big moments and the big games. Certainly playing Richmond on the MCG, it's obviously going to happen maybe later down in the year. So our ability to stand strong and go back to what we knew was going to help us win the game, that was definitely a pleasing thing for him.
Tommy, I used to report on the local footy back in the day 15 years ago, and your old man was the coach of St. Joseph's, and I've just got to get this off my chest, but I've never been more frightened of a man than I was of your old man. Like, after a St. Joey's loss, I'd have to go in there and try and get a couple of quotes on me, and sometimes he'd just give me the look, which he might have copped over the journey, and I just had to get out of there. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. So how big impact has he had on your footy journey?
Yeah, I definitely shared that fear early in my life. I've said it before. He's had a massive impact on me, and not only as a footballer, as a person as well. Your parents have a great impact on probably the main impact on you, how you turn out as a person. And mum and dad have been really influential for me. And I'm obviously very lucky to have such a caring mum and dad.
You're a great story, Tommy, to be honest, because what were you made to wait? 5 years before you get your draft chance. You've been doing some great work, best and fairest team of the year in the VFL. Now that you've stepped up to the AFL and you're a regular member of this Geelong forward line, which is firing on all cylinders, now do you just sort of get around the recruiters and the coaches and just say, what bloody bloke, what took you bloke so long?
Nah, not at all.
You should.
I was nowhere near ready, to be honest, mate. I was definitely not an AFL footballer coming out of school, and I probably wasn't an AFL footballer until start of this year. So, I was lucky to get the opportunity, and it just worked out that the team needed a bit of forward pressure or something like that, and that happened to be one of my attributes. So, I was fortunate in that aspect.
And you must pinch yourself, mate, because you get to play in a forward line next to one of the greatest players of all time, and he will go down as probably the top three greatest players of all time. You get the best seat in the house. How good is it? And do you ever just pinch yourself thinking, wow, I'm playing next to Gary Ablett?
Yeah, it's unreal. I've definitely had a couple of moments this year where he's snapped a goal or done a few steps around blokes and had a shot at goal, and I just think, it's unreal. I'm so lucky to be able to be on the same ground as this bloke. It's something I'll remember for a long time.
And any advice a little master has given you, because he's got plenty of years of experience to draw on?
There's been plenty of advice. I've said before, I think the main thing is you just watch him. Sometimes you're in awe, but, if you can sort of just pick up a few things that he does, it's unreal.
It's amazing what you're doing inside the forward 50. I think you lost the inside 50 count by 3 again last night and smashed them by 67 points. When it gets in the front half of the ground, Tommy, you blokes kick goals. But I want to talk to you about your favourite fish, souvlaki. So the old man runs a fish and chip shop down there on the Geelong waterfront. I heard you were fond of the fish souvlaki, Tommy, but a part of this sort of just tightening the rig and being more professional at the AFL level, you'd had to give it away. That would be heartbreaking.
Yeah, I know. I was pretty devastated about that one. But I kind of wish I hadn't said anything about it, to be honest. It's been bloody taken and run with. But I've definitely copped a bit of stick from the boys about that. But I have had one recently, actually. I had one a couple of weeks ago, and They haven't lost their touch, so.
You deserve it. Tell me, what's happening in that forward 50? Like, you guys are ranked 11th for inside 50s, which is well down on the AFL average, yet when it ever goes in there, it's like a vortex. It's like score. Yeah. What's the secret to that forward line?
Oh, I think it probably speaks to a couple of the players we've got down there. I think Hawk, he's rarely misses a set shot, and Gary Rowan as well. Grind, you saw last night how deadly he can be just when he gets, a couple of seconds of space. So it's definitely the personnel, but I also reckon it's, a bit of our ethos down there. We want to make sure that we're not taking any bad shots, and, I think it shows that we sort of just work the ball around that extra couple of handball until we can get it, a high percentage shot on goal. And obviously that's being reflected in the stats.
Well, Tom, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the bye. And I guess that means you can get your laughing lips around another fish suva because you've got a couple of weeks off to go and enjoy it. So thanks for joining us on Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Well done, Tom. Well, great story. Well done. He's a ripper, isn't he? I mean, he's been just playing away
back
in the VFL.
Yep.
Little bloke, just does a lot of the hard stuff. And now he's just a key member.
And it's
of
a great story for a lot of people that the kids are under 18s trying to play AFL football, can't make it. They spend a bit of time developing their game. As he said, he wasn't ready at 18, but now he certainly looks like an AFL player.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. The Dead Set Legends Saturday Scoreboard.
Yeah, Saturday scoreboard time. Plenty of sport happening all around the world. Plenty to keep an eye on. We just spoke to Tommy Atkins from Geelong after their big 67-point win last night against Richmond. They sit on top of the ladder, 11-1.
Are they the team to beat?
Absolutely, they are at the moment. Yeah, they're the one. They are the benchmark, I think, for all the other teams. There's a few close. Collingwood and GWS not far behind, but you'd have to say Geelong are the benchmark. The NRL, Melbourne Storm take on New Zealand Warriors today in Auckland at 3 p.m. Coming off the State of Origin game. Good game of State of Origin during the week.
I reckon that is one of the highlights of the year. I'm not a huge NRL fan, but I love the State of Origin. Mates, a couple of beers, steak at the pub, watch that. They all hit each other hard. Brilliant.
Yeah. Who do you see when you watch State of Origin? Are you New South Wales or Queensland? Like, who do you go for?
I was born in New South Wales.
Oh, so you're
there you go.
Really?
But I'm not. I'm no NRL expert.
Yeah.
I think just like the steak and the beers on a Wednesday night, Jay, let's be honest.
But the intensity, there's a real intensity and a feeling to it.
Yeah. We can't ever replicate that in AFL, so we've got to stop talking about it.
Did you play that?
No, I missed out. No, in the squad in 2008, but didn't get picked in the team back then. But
I'd love to see it again.
Yeah, I don't think we're ever going to see it. I don't know why we still don't pick a State of Origin team like we do with an All-Australian team. You don't have to play, but still get, because it
just
might
to have
still be
on your credentials.
Well, I think so, because I think and the reason why I thought about it was the Hall of Fame the other night, and you hear all these guys and they talk about they're a six-time, State of Origin representative. That would still be nice to have on a player's career, Paddy Cripps would have been a seven-time, Western Australian representative, or, Paddy Dangerfield, a 10-time Victorian representative. I think it would still be nice to have in the record books. But anyway, that's a different story.
Good shout.
Super Rugby. The Melbourne Rebels come up against the Crusaders in Christchurch this afternoon at 5:30. Our Socceroos lost a friendly overnight 1-0 to South Korea. And, of course, the tennis. Our girl, Ash Barty.
Get her out of there!
Yes!
Do you like that?
Yeah, nice.
Play that one again, Rosie.
Get her out of there!
That's us, by the way.
We sound like Vegemite kids.
We're going to chat to Sam Groth shortly, but for those that are just waking up to the news, Ash Barty's through to the French Open final at Roland Garros, and that'll be tonight at 11 p.m. So we'll chat to Sam Groth shortly. Roger Federer got defeated by Rafa Nadal. That rivalry continues. So Nadal will play the winner of Djokovic and Dominic Thiem, and the match was suspended due to rain, but Thiem's up 2-1.
Bit of controversy, though, last night. The wind was swirling around, and Djokovic actually
was complaining about the
yeah,
I
he
saw
got
that,
the tour, the guys in charge of the tour to come down, and he asked him if they were going to suspend play.
Yep.
But it means that whoever wins that game, there's not going to be much time to back up.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, NBA, the final series, game 4 is going to be on shortly, I think in the next half an hour or so. Toronto lead that 2-1. And in the second hour, we'll be chatting to Mitch McCarron, who's in the Boomer squad. And some of the NBA players have been announced who are coming out to Australia.
Ooh.
So we'll talk about that in the second hour.
Big
names. And we'll ask Mitch McCarron all about that. And of course, the cricket, Australia, 2 wins from their 2 matches. It was a bit nervy against the West Indies. They were about 5-80 and looked in a bit of trouble until Steve Smith steadied the ship and a couple of nice innings from Carey and Coulter Nile.
And NCN, exactly.
Yeah, he was very good, wasn't he? And they play India tomorrow, the Australians. Again, at 7:30 at the Oval. But it was because of Mitch Stark was the only reason we won the game. He's FIFA. Let's take a listen to his highlights.
That's worth a shout. What does he do here, Chris Gayle? This looked
pretty well out to me
for him to play these shots. He's going to be safe, but it's, or is he?
No, he's not. That's a brilliant take. Maxwell, he has run a million miles. And Andre Russell, to me, has played it so wrongly in the end.
He hasn't hit that well at all. Aaron Finch will take it. Aaron Finch does. Mitchell Stark, the wicket taker. Two in the over. 150 wickets in ODIs for Mitchell Stark, the quickest to reach that figure. And the West Indies have crumbled. Excellent. Five wicket haul for Mitchell Stark, his sixth in One Day Internationals and his third against the West Indies.
Yeah, he's been awesome in World Cups, Mitch Stark. In 10 World Cup matches, he's taken 28 wickets. So he got us over the line with his bowling feats off the back of some good batting efforts from a bit of a tail ender. So all good, plenty happening in the cricket. Can't wait to see how we go against India. Oh, that's going to be a beauty.
Small concern for me was Australia's top order batting against the short ball. The West Indies bowlers, didn't they put us under some pressure?
It was a plan that was very obvious, wasn't it?
So that's the thing you'd hope they've gone to work on the past couple of days. Yep.
Yeah, and Maxwell just came in and kind of threw away his wicket.
Second ball, tried to play a hook
it?
Shot, went straight out. So they need to bat better. But at least now they've had a look at it, they'll know what teams will try and do to them, and they can hopefully combat it and win the World Cup.
Well, that's the plan, hey, Joey?
Absolutely.
You might not know that our girl, Ash Barty, is through to the French Open final. Here's how it all happened last night.
Ash Barty into the Roland Garros final. The Australian number one. Well, the biggest moment of her career in singles play. Quite a semi-final with the teenage sensation Amanda Anisimova, who led Barty a set and three love. But the Australian with a performance of grit, of composure, and most of all of quality, will go for the title here in Paris.
And may I add, mental fortitude. Sam Groth is on the line to talk about Ash's stirring win. Sam, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thank you for having me.
Now, Grothy, I was watching the game last night and Ash looked to be in cruise control, five love up in the first set. It then fell apart. So for her to come back and win it, it really is a testament to her character, isn't it?
Oh, 100%. To be five love up, two set points, absolutely cruising. It looked like the first set was going to be done in under 20 minutes. And then just the way it sort of unraveled for her in that next sort of 30 or 40 minute period to lose that first set in the tiebreak, then go down three love in the second, just the ability for her to, I think, compose herself. But it sort of shows where her game's at the moment. There's no panic. She has full belief in what she's doing out there. A lot of other players, you know, you blow that sort of a lead in a match as big as this, there's really no coming back. But full credit to her to turn it around and then put herself in the final. It's an unbelievable effort.
And we spoke about her mentor, resolve. Grothy, I had some friends that went to a function on Tuesday night and heard her mentor, Ben Crowe, speak. And he told a wonderful story about how she won Wimbledon at 15. The expectation got a little bit too much for her. She had troubles with her self-esteem, dealing with some issues, and hence why she quit tennis and took up cricket. Then when she came back, she was still a bit distracted by outside noises. And once she got some help about that and focused solely on her tennis, it's gone to a whole nother level. And that's been clearly one of the biggest improvements and why now she's one of the top tennis players in the world.
Oh, 100%. And it all comes down to putting everything together. The hard thing for Ash, as you said, was 15 years of age, and we hadn't had a true champion, probably on the women's side. We had Sam, obviously doing great, won the US Open, Sam Stosur, but someone who we could really get behind week in, week out, and we genuinely believed could be at the top of the women's game. Obviously, Sam was starting to get on a little bit towards the back end of her career now, but the pressure that we put on in Australia, I think we demand champions, and we always want some at the top of the game, and tennis has always been a sport where we've had people at the top, so there was a lot of pressure on Ash to sort of fill those shoes and to step in there, and didn't obviously deal with it well. It's a lot to put on a 15-year-old, let alone anybody, and yeah, I think it's great. The work she's been doing with Ben, they've been pretty secretive about it. So obviously it's great to hear him come out and speak about it. But, you know, whatever she's doing, she just needs to keep going because she wins tonight. She's going to be number two in the world. There's no reason she won't be number one.
Yeah, and he also said that. He said she had got 10 goals at the start of the year, including making a final of a Grand Slam and finishing the year top 10 in the world. So she's already ticked two boxes, our girl Ash, and hopefully she can go one better and win it.
Yeah, that's the thing now. Obviously, you set a goal of wanting to make a final. So once you get there, you just hope the she's not content with just being there because, you know, she's going to go into this match the favourite. There's going to be a lot of pressure. I think, you know, the lady from the Czech Republic she's playing, she's only 19 years old, Markéta Vondrousova. She's never actually played on Philippe Chatrier. So there's going to be a lot of pressure on both. You just think Ash, having been in four Grand Slam doubles finals, one there at the French a few years ago with Casey where they lost, but winning the US Open in doubles, she's had a lot more experience in these really big matches, and you hope that's going to hold her in good stead. And if she can control those nerves and come out firing like she did last night, there's no reason that tonight at Hall of Australia won't be celebrating with her.
We're speaking to Sam Groth. Now, Grothy, since you retired from Australian tennis, mate, I've needed a new hero in Australian tennis, it's been fair to say, because the posters on my wall, mate, were of you, but you've moved on and doing great things in media. So I need a new hero. And I've decided that Ash Barty will be it. She seems like an absolute ripper, just the way she carries herself. Tell us how popular she is amongst you guys.
Well, I mean, she's really popular, I think, amongst everybody on tour. I mean, she always got a smile on her face. She carries herself well. She's very down to earth. And I think, as you said, we always end up talking about it, and it's great that Ash has become this story, but the public have wanted someone they can really get behind who is one of them, you know, who's down to earth and who leaves everything out there and, I guess, embodies that Australian spirit. And, you know, as we said, a few of the youngsters, we've been wanting that. We got a little bit of Alex De Minaur over the summer, but Ash is the one who, in all honesty, I mean, she's, well, as of tonight, could be a Grand Slam singles champion, and she's the one that everyone's going to be getting behind week in, week out now on tour. Every time a Grand Slam pops up, Australia's going to be hanging their hopes on her. So, you know, full credit to her, to her team, to Craig Tizer and Ben and everyone that's working with her, but also probably mostly to Ash, just to stay as level-headed as she is in a country that, as I said, we demand champions, we demand the best people, you know, in our sports, and you know, she's really doing that.
Before we let you go, Sam, the men's side, wouldn't be a French Open without Rafa Nadal being into another final. Yeah. That's unbelievable. But tell us about that. The men's side, the Djokovic team game, a little bit of controversy there. Can you actually clarify for us? Are you allowed to abandon play because of wind in tennis? Was that what Djokovic was complaining about last night? Are you across that?
I think they stopped at one stage because there was a storm imminent. So
right.
They pulled them off court for about 20 minutes. Then the rain actually came. They won't stop it for wind. There's no rule that says, unless I think it's dangerous to the players. But we saw Rafa and Roger actually playing in some pretty ordinary conditions out there, sand or clay blowing everywhere all over the court. And obviously Rafa into his 12th French Open finals, quite ridiculous.
It's
going to final number 12. I've been on the receiving end of a Rafa beat down the French Open. It's never fun. But nice. It's remarkable to think, we looked at Tiger Woods at the Masters having won his fifth Masters title and talked about how big that was. And then you put it in context that four majors in golf, it's four majors in tennis, and Rafa's won the same one 11 times. So it's a pretty remarkable feat. And Sunday night, he might have got 12.
And another Aussie we have to get behind is Dylan Alcott, also through to the final there. Well, Grothy, thanks so much for joining us, and we'll all be getting behind Ash tonight, 10:30. It's really hers to lose, isn't it, against
Vondrousova?
Anyway. But we're backing her to get it done. Thanks so much, Grothy.
No worries. Thanks, Amy.
She really is so likable, isn't she?
We've been craving for a tennis player that's just likable, that we can support and cheer on. And we've now got our tennis player in Ash Barty. Get around her tonight, 10:30. We're staying up for Saturday night. Watch Barty.
The Dead Set Legends, Triple M.
Big second hour coming up. We'll be talking to Mitch McCarron, who's been named in the Boomers squad, a bit later in the show, Jay.
Yeah, and lots of footy stuff too. I want to talk about Bryce Gibbs, Dane Beams, gambling in footy, the Carlton Footy Club, massive game for them coming up into the Lions. Also, Sarah, but it's your birthday coming up. But did you say
it
something
is.
Before? It's some sort of conundrum or a predicament.
A little personal predicament.
It's a story.
Now, I mean, we all work on weekends, being in the caper of footy, so I'm no martyr there. But in a couple of weeks, my birthday falls on a Thursday, so boyfriend's doing the right thing, taking me out for dinner that Thursday.
You want?
He's just informed me that he's then going away for the weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
With all of our friends, and I can't go with them.
Get him on the line, Rosie.
Is that, am I being precious
Yes,
there?
You are, because that's part, if you're going to work in football, that's what happens. You know how many years I've missed out on 21sts and weddings and going away with friends?
This is my birthday, not someone else's.
We work in the footy season. What do you want him to do? Sit at home while you're at work, working on the Fox on Saturday night, doing the Saturday stretch? What's he going to do?
So
sit at home and watch you on TV?
That I'm just going to come home on the weekend of my birthday to crickets.
Unfortunately, I think yes.
What's his name, your fella?
Ed.
Yeah, I think we need to get Ed on the line and explain this.
He'll be listening. He's meant to be doing some washing this morning. He's on to his third load, apparently.
What other special plans he has for you in your birthday?
What would you want him to do on your birthday weekend while you're working?
No, well, I would like to just be around him on my birthday weekend.
He can do Thursday.
Is that too much to ask?
No.
Bring it forward. Wednesday night. Give him to jump out of a cake.
Wednesday, Thursday.
Or something.
Now, as always, a lot going around in the world of footy. And Jay, this morning, you want to focus on Bryce Gibbs.
Yeah, well, he's had a bit of a crossroads, Bryce. Dropped for the third time, surprisingly, only 2 years after he was brought to the club in exchange for two first-round draft picks, pick number 10, pick number 16. That's a massive price for, I mean, we all thought that Bryce Gibbs was an A-grade midfielder, but it hasn't translated this season. And for me, it's really curious about what role they're trying to make him play, Joey, and you know this much better than us, but for me, Bryce Gibbs is a finisher. He's an outside ball user. He's the cherry on top. Now, are they trying to make him into more of an inside midfielder? They're on him for his defensive stuff. You know, he's an average defence. He's probably a poor defensive player, to be honest, but can you change a player like that? Because I would have thought that you want to cater to a player's strengths, and that is the Crouch brothers getting it out to Bryce Gibbs on the outside to hit their big forwards lace out. How has this fallen apart?
Well, I think what we're seeing, it's a bit of an evolution of the game. That what position would you want him to play then? Because at the moment, the wings are becoming almost the most important positions on the field. We've seen, you know, we're talking about Brad Hill and Isaac Smith when he's been playing, and all these really play that like side bottom that run up and down the wings all day. Bryce Gibbs that doesn't have that tank. He's not one of the sort of biggest endurance beasts in the competition, so I don't think he can play on a wing. I think the half forward role again has become a spot where we're looking at, you know, real explosive hard runners like the Richmond teams, the Geelong small forwards. What we're seeing with Port Adelaide playing the Rosies and Butters. And halfback, he probably doesn't defend well enough to play halfback, and they've probably already got guys like Seedsman and Rory Laird in those spots. So for me, it's simply a balance thing. I think they just feel that they can't have too many of the same types of players. They've got the Crouch brothers, they've got Alice Yeoman, Hugh Greenwood, who I think is a very good player, has also missed out in the team for that reason. So unfortunately, I think they've probably looked at it and thought when they brought him to the club, that would be his role. Now they've probably realised the way the game's evolved, you probably need a bit more explosive running power to play on the outside, and he doesn't quite have that. And they've got too many of the similar types inside. So unfortunately, he's not in their best 22, which is what their assistant coach said, which is remarkable considering how good of a career he's had and giving up two first-round picks.
So the situation now, I mean, there's going to be some honest conversations, Sarah, at the end of the year between Adelaide. There will be some. I mean, to be honest, they have already started.
Yep.
I mean, because Bryce Gibbs has admitted some confusion and disappointment.
His psyche must be a bit muddled at the moment because he's in and out, and dropped again.
So can he ask and say, look, if I'm not in your best 22, can I go to another club? And then if Adelaide are probably paying him pretty good money and got 2 years to run, wouldn't they be happy possibly to cop a third, fourth round draft pick, relieve some money, and let a player go who technically is not in their best 22?
Definitely his management will step in at the end of the year and we'll have these sorts of conversations, because is it a Tom Scully situation last year where GWS traded him, yes, for a future fourth round pick, which is peanuts, but they get his salary cap off the books. And remember, they're going to have Carlton's potentially number one pick. So with that, they can bring in a real big dog. And could that be a Brody Grundy type?
And I feel there is a little bit of Adelaide, while they still are right in it this season, probably not at the top end of the ladder, but can play finals, they're probably looking a bit to the future. Because if you see the guys that have missed out in Adelaide's team, Sam Jacobs is 31, the younger O'Brien's held his spot. They've dropped Dave Mackay, who's 30, and Bryce Gibbs, who's 30. So maybe there is a little bit of they're going to play the Chase Joneses and Gallucci's and some of the younger players, because they are one of the sort of the older lists in the competition.
Yeah,
so
Fogarty,
they might need to refresh it and bring in a bit more young talent.
Do we really think that Bryce Gibbs would be up for a move, though, because he moved back home to Adelaide?
Yeah, you wouldn't have thought so. And that's where his family situation is significant. He will try and repair it if they can. Dane Beams is the other massive news this week. Out for 3-4 months. May not play again this season because of that hip surgery. Braden Sire is the man who we expect to come in for the Queen's birthday game against Melbourne on Monday. Brody Grundy has trained this morning with that ankle. Expect him to play and take on Max Gawn. What do you think about Collingwood's midfield with Beams out, Sire in? Do they lose much?
I don't think they lose much at all, to be fair. We know Dane Beams, first of all, is a wonderful player, but I don't necessarily think he's made Collingwood better this year, because you need
average.
He has been only average, and you can't. There's only so much ball you can win, and what you've seen with Geelong, where they've moved some of their players out of the centre square. I like the mix of Sire. I think you need some defensive running. You need a good balance. They've already got Treloar and Pendlebury is having an excellent year, and side bottom Taylor Adams will come back into the team, so they've still got plenty of midfield depth. I like Braden Sire, because if he wasn't getting a game, he'd be one. If I was a list manager, Sarah, I'd be circling, because he's footy late last year was huge. His grand final was very good for Collingwood. Big size midfielder. It's what every team wants in the future. So might be on show, Braden Sire, for attracting some big offers. Like
it, so what you're saying is Sire, who to some people might be a bit of a no name, he comes in for Dane Beams.
And they don't lose much. I don't think they lose a lot. Obviously, Dane Beams is a star, wonderful finisher, probably kicks more goals than Sire, but I don't think they lose a lot. And they've got enough talent around them to cover Dane Beams.
Which clubs would be circling Sire, in your opinion?
I think most clubs that need some big-bodied midfielders. Essendon, St Kilda, Kangaroos, if they're looking to rebuild a little bit. You think most clubs.
I think the Bombers may already be circling. Now, Mitch McCarron is on the line. He's been named in the Boomer squad to take on Team USA at the end of the year. Mitch, thanks for joining us. And how excited are you? We know there's been some big names assembled from Team USA, and you get to play against them.
Yeah, it's super exciting to be a part of the squad, and obviously it's going to be a really talented group, and I'm sure the USA are going to bring a team full of studs over as well, so it should be a really fun game for the guys in the team.
Have you heard some of the names, Mitch, that are locked and the ones that are potentially coming over? Because we've got the list here. So James Harden, we believe, is coming out. Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, and Zion Williamson.
Zion.
The big college freak is coming out. And potentially Kyle Kuzma, Jason Tatum, and Donovan Mitchell. Out of all that bunch that we just read out, Mitch, who would you most like to play a bit of one-on-one with at some stage?
None of them.
Nah, what about you and Zion going at it down in the low post?
I'll say on the perimeter. It'll be fun. And that's the dream team mentality. You know, they stack their teams. You know, even if one guy pulls out, they replace him with another all-star. And that's what makes them so good. So that's really fun.
We can't wait, Mitch. Two exhibition games at Marvel Stadium, August 22 and August 24. What's your mentality for a game like this? Because on one hand, I can understand where it's like, let's just enjoy this experience. You know, it's back to days as a kid when you used to watch the Dream Team and it was unbelievable. Or do you sort of want to be physical? Do you want to get in their face? Do you want to meet the challenge? When you go into that game and you suit up, what sort of mental state do you think you'll be in?
Oh, I think you got to go after it. You know, I haven't played against them before. I've played it under 19s, but, you know, there's other guys who have played in World Cup games and Olympic games against the Dream Team. And, you know, I think the main point is you respect them, obviously, for their talent and who they are, but you're not intimidated by them by any means. You go at them, and that's the Aussie way, isn't it? You know, you throw everything you've got at them, you work together and try and get a win.
And obviously it's pretty important too. It's not just an exhibition game, because obviously it's fine-tuning for the World Cup that we hopefully think we can medal in, and we should, because it'll be our best ever Boomers team. There's 18 in the squad. Mitch, what's the program leading up to that? Do you go into camp? What does the schedule look like leading up to the World Cup?
Yeah, we jump into camp about August 3rd. It's not a super long camp, but it's just about building some chemistry in the squad and you know, making sure we have our offenses and our defenses all right for the exhibition games, and then continue to work on that. As you said, you know, for the ones that will count in the tournament, that's when, you know, you get the chance to medal, and then we need to be at the best.
Just taking a sideways step here for a sec, Mitch. What are your thoughts on Andrew Bogut? I mean, we're watching him right now. What is it? Game 4 in the NBA Finals. He's what, player of the season in the NBL, goes to the Golden State Warriors, and is playing an unbelievable role in a potential NBA chip. And then he'll come back, and you guys will play with him in Team Australia. Could you ever have scripted how his season would have panned out?
Oh, not at all. I think a lot of people probably thought, you know, him coming back to the NBL was it. But clearly he's got everything he needs to contribute at the highest level. And, you know, it's awesome for him that he gets to jump back on a team that's got a chance to win an NBA title and then come back and play a World Cup. You know, he must be stoked. But again, it speaks to the strength of Australian basketball where and the NBL, where he can come back, have a season, you know, he wins MVP, but he's obviously playing well and he's in shape, and then he can just jump back on a Warriors team and help them try and win.
We're chatting to Mitch McCarron, Melbourne United guard. And Mitch, just closer to home, Melbourne United, we've lost a couple of our big guns. Boone and Casper Ware have both jumped ship. We know Casper Ware's gone to the Sydney Kings, and Josh Boone for the Illawarra Hawks. Are we on the search for a couple of another big imports? Do you know anything about that? And when does pre-season start again for the NBL season?
We've got one more import to sign. We've got Mello Trimble and Sean Long done, which is super exciting. They're two guys that we had a fair bit of trouble with at times throughout the year. So obviously it's, you know, disappointing to see Josh and Casper, you know, on different teams. But we're also really happy for them that, you know, I'm sure they're going to continue to have great careers and hopefully have a good year, just not against us.
What about Zion Williamson? Just finally, Mitch, he's coming out, potential number one NBA pick. The whole globe is going to be interested to see how he combines with Davis, the superstars, and then comes up against you guys. You see much of Zion because he is an absolute brute of a man.
He's a beast. yeah, it's obviously with the amount of publicity that he got just because of you know, the freak that he is athletically, and I think it'd be awesome to see him on the Team USA team to come out, and Australians would get to see that in Melbourne, then that would be awesome. But yeah, hopefully he has a good start to his NBA career, and I hope he stays healthy as well. He's obviously a super strong guy. He's carrying a lot of muscle, so hopefully he stays healthy.
Well, Mitch, best of luck for later in the year. We look forward to watching you then.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Mitch. Thanks,
That's
mate.
Mitch McCarron there. I liked when you asked, who would you like to go a bit of one-on-one with?
None. James Harden would be good, wouldn't it? Just go a little bit of one-on-one with James Harden.
He'd take you to school,
oh,
shall
you reckon?
Triple M's Dead Set Legends.
Now, later up, Carlton takes on the Brisbane Lions, the first game that David Teague has in charge of the club. And it got me thinking, guys, pick one. David Teague or Reece Shaw, the two interim coaches at the moment?
Oh, well, we haven't seen David Teague yet, but I think what Reece Shaw has done so far has been really impressive. Just being himself in the media, I really like that. And clearly, whatever he's done with North Melbourne has worked. So sure, he's got the runs on the board so far.
I wish David Teague the best of luck. We had him at St Kilda for a year. He was our defensive coach 2014.
What's he like?
I really like David Teague. He's got a good balance. He's he was very hard on the effort and the trademark side of things. He ran a lot of that at the club, but he's also a really sort of lighthearted guy. Loves a chat. And he used to come and sit in the locker. Teague used to wander, as an assistant coach, wander into the locker rooms after training, and he'd just sit down and start chatting, and we couldn't get away from him. So, but he's a ripping fella, Teague, so I wish him the best of luck. And yeah.
Pick one, Joey.
Oh, well, I'll go David Teague.
Like
Reece is a Northern Knights boy. I know the Shore boys grew up northern suburbs, but I'll go Teague.
I got one for you, Joey. Talking about all Australian fullbacks, Alex Rance, Jeremy Govan, probably considered the best two key defenders in the competition. Pick the third best, Harris Andrews or Mark Blitzarts?
I think for me, Mark Blitzarts has had an unbelievable year. I think when you look at Geelong, best defence in the competition, Blitzarts is so good. I think he's underrated, the impact that he's having. Harris Andrews is a star. Probably hit his straps, I reckon, in the last month. Harris Andrews has been really, really good. Probably a bit of a slower start. So I'd go Mark Blitzarts, but yeah, very good.
And he's a steeplechaser. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did know that.
Yeah, yeah,
I did. What about one for you? What about? I've been having these discussions with a few people. Yep. Lockie Whitfield or Josh Kelly? If you could have one to take to your club for next year, Josh Kelly or Lockie Whitfield, both of you, who would you take?
That is a blinder. Look, I'll go Kelly maybe because he plays slightly more of an inside role maybe. But they are...
Get off the fence.
There are some people...
Yeah, I'll have Kelly. I'll have Kelly. But that's...
I would have used to have gone with Kelly, I think, but Whitfield this year, watching him, some people think, I think Gary Lyons says it, he's the best finisher in the competition.
Yeah. He's probably the best by foot, but then it was amazing. But I watched Josh Kelly live against Melbourne the other week and I realised how good Josh Kelly was. So I'm probably slightly in the Josh Kelly camp.
Remember, coming up from midday, it's the Saturday rub. But before we get there, boys, Carlton, it's their first game today against the Brisbane Lions, and David Teague, he steps into the senior coaching role. Jay, what can we expect from the Blues today?
It's going to be fascinating, and I'm almost excited in a way because I think it's going to be Carlton unleashed. Like, I think from everything we've heard out of Carlton over the past few days and David Teague, you know, they're talking about playing a more exciting, instinctive style of play, you know, with more freedom, you know, designed to get more goals on the board. I mean, they've been so robotic, Carlton, haven't they? You know, they kicked four goals last week in the wet against Essendon, and the pressure has been weighing on them.
Less structure and more just playing football. Isn't that music to fans' ears? And Carlton, speak about talent. They have got plenty of talent. So Well, I think they do. The players have got talent, absolutely. You don't get drafted as first-round picks. You go through their list. They have got talent everywhere in their side. Wiedering, Newman, Marchbank, Cripps, Curno, Harry Mackay, you know, Walsh and Petrescu-Seaton and Dow and these youngsters, they've all got talent.
Yep.
So now to be able to let it shine without necessarily having to do your head in over structures and defensive roles. It could be scary for Brisbane Lions today.
Tell us about that player's psyche. Do you what switches? You know, what is that pressure valve release?
What it is, and it's instinctiveness. So because there is structures, if you're still a player that has to think about where you need to stand, what you need to be doing, it takes away from then what football's all about, and that's just playing. So that's why I suppose experience counts, because it becomes, you know what to do without having to think about it, but also preparation. So that those two things help you with you not having to worry too much about what you need to be doing at what certain times, because it becomes instinctive. But for a lot of players, especially when they're younger, it hasn't become instinctive for them. So they've still got to think about, what am I meant to do defensively? What's my role at a stoppage? Where am I meant to stand? And that half a second just takes away from see ball, get ball, or, you know, lay that tackle, or just take off straight away. So that's probably what the difference is. And that's why young teams struggle. And hopefully if Carlton can just play a little bit more free-flowing football and play more instinctive, they might get some goals kicked against them, but they'll certainly score a few.
So you're thinking it's the younger players who are going to benefit the most from what David Teague described this week as a clean slate for
everyone. And it just relieves the pressure. And also you feel that burden of, you know, losing. It weighs down on you a little bit. That, you know, the coach is under pressure. You know that a loss is going to get highlighted in the media. So all those things do just add up slightly. So to now, hopefully David Teague's instilled in them to not worry about any of that. Just play. They can just do what they do naturally, and that's use the ball and kick goals.
On the flip side, get into the psyche of the Brisbane players, because this in many ways is a big test for them coming up against a Carlton side that are going to be reinvigorated today, Joey.
Great test. And if Brisbane want to be taken as a legitimate contenders and the real deal, this is just a game they must win. If they want to be a professional team, they shouldn't be distracted by what the opposition want to do. They can say the opposition can do whatever they want to do, play however they want to play, but this is what we do, this is how we play, and we're just going to worry about us and back ourselves in. And this will be a good test for their maturity. I think they have matured, Brisbane. I think they are the real deal. Their youngsters have come along in leaps and bounds. So I think this will just be another box they tick on their way to playing finals.
They should win. But for all the Carlton fans listening right now, Joey, I mean, Brendan Bolton copped it in the neck last week. Do you reckon the list management side of things got off lightly? I mean, they're just saying, oh, the plan's fine. The plan's on track. Don't worry about the plan. We know what we're doing. We just need a new coach. Like, I thought it was a bit unfair how it was all attributed to the coaching, because I'm not sure all the list management moves, all the draft decisions have hit the nail on the head either.
Yeah, I don't think internally they would be just saying that. I don't think internally they would wipe their hands clean and say, oh, it's got nothing to do with us, it was only the coach. I'm sure they're reviewing harshly their list management, their development, their strategy and all those things.
I didn't pick up that tone in the press.
You didn't get that tone? Yeah, no. Okay. Well, I'm
but
sure
they should be, right?
They should be. I think they would be behind closed doors. And obviously, you know, we understand the way it works. When something starts and the first skittle falls, it's generally the coach. And that's just more to help the players and let the players be able to play without that burden. But I'm sure they'll have some hard looks at themselves internally. I still think they're on the right track. I've been pretty bullish all year. I know they haven't been getting the wins. And up until the last month, their football was heading in the right direction. So if they can just get back to their football going in the right direction, Brisbane were 1-10 this time last year. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about them being a finals team. So I'm still pretty bullish. It's a good job for whichever coach gets the role.
Now, Jay, before we get to give me a spell, on the Saturday Rub last week, you were speaking to Ross Lyon. How did that go?
Oh, it was outstanding, because just before the Dockers, the mighty Dockers, took down Collingwood, he gave our man, what are you these days, opposition analysis tactical guru, what are you calling yourself, Joey?
Something like that.
Well, this is how Ross Lyon described you last Saturday.
The difference, Lee Montagna.
You are the difference. You've made the difference.
Look at the head wobble.
To Fremantle. Yeah. So well done, Joey. Your hard work's being rewarded. Yeah. Now it's time for...
We are fighting the fake news.
The Dead Set Legends.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Give me a spell.
Phony. Fake.
That's right. Give me a spell time. It's where we take aim at someone. Last night took the young bloke to see Aladdin at Village Cinemas. Oh, and it's one of those ones where they had like all the sort of the toys in there as well. They did the slide and the Hot Wheels and all that sort of stuff. He had mild interest in the movie, but we got there. It was over 2 hours, a little bit long. But give me a spell. The expense of movie food. I got a bucket of popcorn and Dead Set nearly cost me a kidney. It was like ridiculous, way too expensive, the movie. No wonder people try and sneak like tubes in their pockets and that sort of stuff.
Give me a spell.
Movie, price, food.
My give me a spell. I'm just giving a little backhander, a little volley.
Yep.
Get it? Yes. To Serena Williams. During the week, Serena wanted to get her press conference over and done with, kicked out young Dominic Thiem.
Ridiculous.
And said, oh, I want to go in first. Come on, Serena, give me a spell. We know you are a superstar, one of the greatest tennis players of all time, but come on, just be a bit humble, be a bit patient, yep. Let Dominic finish his interview, you know, his press conference first.
Spot on.
A little backhander to Serena Williams.
And not that this is my give me a spell, but further to that, give me a spell, Whoopi Goldberg, who went on her The View program and defended Serena going, who's Dominic Thiem? Well, Whoopi, he could be winning the final this Sunday, so
yeah.
Give me a spell. But that's not my give me a spell. However, it is tennis related. Give me a spell, the Roland Garros crowd who turned up to watch our Ash yesterday. Where were you?
Oh,
if you looked
yeah,
around, it was an absolute atrocious crowd.
Yep.
Half the stands were empty. So give me a spell. Hopefully she gets the respect she deserves this evening and they turn up.
You know what? I don't mind it. Backs to the wall. They don't rate you. Use that, Ash. Use that.
She'll use
motivation.
It. She'll use it.
She doesn't need to use it. As you said, Joey, she doesn't even listen to what's going on
and
outside anymore.
Speaking of Ash Barty.
The Dead Set Legend of the Week.
And a champion becomes a legend.
We just realised in the ad break, Jay, we have our first two-time Dead Set Legend nominee.
Wow, who?
Ash Barty.
Woo-hoo!
Remember about a month or so ago, 6 weeks, we gave Ash Barty a Dead Set Legend because she broke into the top 10. She was doing wonderful things on the tennis circuit. We gave her some love. Well, I've had to double down. We're going to go again.
You're making this about yourself, Joey. That's what you're done.
What do you mean? This is about Ash Barty.
I called this.
No, not at all. We didn't call this. We just gave Ash Barty our Dead Set Legend of the week about 8 weeks ago.
I think you should
get it again. Good luck to our girl, Ash Barty. She's doing it for the nation.
Yep.
Finally, a tennis player we can love watching. Let's hope she gets the job done.
Yeah, she'll get it done. And does that mean she's in the Hall
she's
of Fame?
She's in the Hall of Fame. First ever two-time Dead Set Legend nominee.
Yeah. Hey, quick tips, Joey. Who are you tipping? Gold Coast, North Melbourne?
North Melbourne.
I think there's going to be an upset there. Carlton, Brisbane?
Brisbane, just.
Adelaide, GWS.
And Melbourne are a sneaky chance Monday.
That's all from us. Have a great Saturday.